Shmuel Beis Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Tes. So Yoav has just given it to the king with both barrels. Vayakam HaMelech Vayeshev Bashar. And so the king did it. He did what Yoav had told. And he got up and he went and sat down in the gate. So he had been inside. He had been mourning his son. He had been wailing and moaning and keening. Ulechol ha'am higidu lemar hinei ha'melech yoshev bashar. And they informed all the people saying, behold, the king is sitting in the gate. Vayavo chol ha'am lefnei ha'melech. B'Yisrael nas ish la'ohalav. And so the entire people came before the king, because all of Yisrael, and this meant the ones who were with Avshalom, Rashi tells us, so all of the rebels had run to their tents to go and hide, because they were afraid that they were going to be judged and found to be rebels, and they were going to be executed. And so they scattered. The Malbim says, Kitzon Mefuzaros, like sheep, each one spread out, running in its own direction. And there was no gathering them. There was no bringing them back together. But also, some of the Mefarshim say that these are David's supporters had been avoiding the king out of shame and out of an inability to deal with his pain. So we learn a deep lesson, the Me'am Lois says, from this. He says that even when a person is in the worst pain possible and he's mourning a loved one, if he's in a situation where he has to compose himself and be in control, he shouldn't allow his grief to overwhelm him. There's a story in the Gemara, I can't remember exactly where it is, of a woman whose son died, and she screamed and mourned and let everything out and emoted publicly. There are times, again, lo yalenu, but there are times where you see women occasionally on the news, and a child was killed in a drive-by or in some kind of violence, and they're inconsolable, and they're weeping and crying and screaming, and after a little while it becomes uncomfortable. But in the Gemara's case, the Chachamim went to the woman and said, okay, you have to stop now. It had reached a crescendo, and it had reached a point where it was beyond what was good for her and what was socially acceptable for anyone else to try to comfort her, because she was not going to be comforted. And she refused, and a second son died, and then a third son died. I don't remember in the Gemara exactly how many, but she lost all her children because of this unseemly inability to at some point gain a modicum, just a little bit of control, and be able to be able to handle what God had dealt to the person. Chas v'shalom. I mean, that sounds like the worst test that anybody should ever have to undergo. But David is the avatar of this, that at the height of his grieving over Rav Shalom, he went out in public to show that he wasn't going to wallow in misery. And we're about to see he's going to speak with people. And not only that, he's going to take charge again. It is the strength that anybody could possibly show to do such a thing is incalculable. And yet David's going to do it. Now, in the meantime, all the people were at odds throughout all the Shvatim of Yisrael, because now the rebellion was over and Avshalom was dead, and now they have to deal with the fallout of their own perfidy, of their own lack of loyalty to the king. So fistfights are starting between different people. Everybody's blaming everybody. And they're all saying to each other, HaMelech hitzilonu mikaf oyevenu. The king is the one who rescued us from the hands of all of our enemies. V'hu miltanu mikaf plishtim. And he saved us from the hands of the plishtim. And we forgot it, right? What have you done for me lately? V'yata barach min ha'aretz me'alav shalom. And now he had to flee out of Eretz Yisrael. Because remember, in Machanoim, they're across the Yarden. He had to flee Eretz Yisrael completely because of Avshalom. Me'al Avshalom, to escape Avshalom. Yudal of Avshalom, Asher Moshachnu Aleinu Meis Bamulchama. And Avshalom, the one that we anointed over ourselves, that we were so quick to accept, he died in the battle. V'ata lomo atem macharishim l'hashiv el hamelech. So now, Why are the rest of you keeping silent about bringing the king back? And so the Mefarshim say that this was happening in towns and cities throughout Eretz Yisrael. Because now the political op-ed pages are really interesting. All the blogs, all the tweets, everybody has an opinion. So a bunch of the people are debating and saying, look, we can't forget what David HaMelech did for us. He ran away from Avshalom. It wasn't that he was afraid. He fled so that, first of all, his son's sin against him wouldn't even be more severe as his son killed him. And second of all, he was maybe saving us. He ran away from Avshalom. He didn't run away from us. He didn't stop being our king. So what we need to do, even if we did anoint Avshalom, so we made a little mistake. He died in battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors God, so why are people still keeping silent? And it seems to be that other people in Israel were refusing to admit it, even now. What do you mean I lost the election? Not that this has anything to do with current events. I didn't lose. It was all fake. Everybody's cheating. It's illegitimate. I'm not leaving the palace. That could never happen in today's day and age, could it? And the people are divided, just like they were then. So this is mamash the same thing, except that David is acting with class and with great leadership, and people are paying no attention to him anyway. And it seems to be, even though the Nach doesn't say so, that David heard about all of these conversations, and they finish Yud Aleph B'Avshalom. I'm sorry, we said Yud Aleph already. Lama Atem Acharishim L'Asher L'Melech. Why are you being silent? How many times has he saved us, and still we force him to flee? And so what David HaMelech is going to do is address all of this by going through the people to address the people and calm everybody's nerves and reassert the Malucha, but not in an authoritarian way, but rather in an understanding and understated way that the people will respond to.